coming up on Thunder Pop.
Today I have Johnny Lightfoot joining me. Johnny is a movie buff and Star Wars enthusiast. He attends Fantastic Fest every year. And he's got some stuff he wants to talk about today concerning The Force Awakens. And maybe so do I. We'll see. All right, we'll be back here right after that. You know, the theme song. Here it goes. Oh, okay.
All right,
indeed. So, Johnny Lightfoot, who I've known for a while now, is going to be at Force Awakens when it opens.
Yes, sir.
On December 17th. And how many screens have you already got tickets for?
Right now, we're at 3 for that opening weekend.
So, you're set for the first one, which I think in Austin, it's 8 p.m., right? 8 p.m. Central is the first screenings?
Yeah, 7:30 or 8. I unfortunately didn't get that because I had to be at the Draft House, so I'll be there a little later.
How did you get in Draft House? Because I could not. I tried and tried, and finally I gave up out of fear of not getting any tickets. So, at that point, I went to Gateway, got tickets for the 3D screening.
Right.
8 p.m., so I'm going to be one of the first, you know, if not the first, it's one of the first. So that worked out okay. We've got the nice spacious lobbies I can walk around in. I won't get that really cool glass, though, unless I can find one that somebody is nice enough to get one for me.
They're actually, throughout that weekend, you can still get the glass.
Mm.
So if you go to, like, a Sunday show, because I think if memory serves, there's still tickets to like some of the Sunday showings, and you can still pre-order that glass and magazine.
Yeah, because you know the hardcore fans, usually when any major release comes out, I notice that if you want to avoid the crowds, you can go by Sunday a lot of times and get into movies and not have as much fuss and hassle. And okay, that's a good tip. Because it was a cool. So you got the Alamo first.
Yes, because I had to be a part of the madness.
And that one's going to be what time?
I'll be in at 11 o'clock.
So you go late. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. And then, what's your next screening?
That would be Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. That'll be by myself. That way I can just kind of assess it.
That's when you're going to assess and be able to break down
things. Right, yeah. Thursday night is kind of like the fun, you know, dress up, get in costume, be in the madness. Friday is when I want to go in early, just by myself. Mm-hmm.
The movie buff.
Right. Just go in and watch it.
Yeah. Know? And really break things down. Bring your notepad and pencil because I'm going to have you on one of the post shows.
Right.
So you'll have your notes ready. If you go to the Alamo, they might not like you having your flashlight, cell phone on your flashlight to over your notepad so you can see what you're writing down. But
I'll just use those little lights under the little tables.
Yeah. You could do that as well. So we're going to open this show with a new segment. We've never done this segment before. It's called Binge Watch Challenge. So here's the deal. I'm going to call somebody, but you know, I was going to post this on Facebook, and I started to post this on Facebook. Hey, anybody want to be a part of this Binge Watch Challenge? And then people are like, what's that? What am I doing? What am I going to be doing if I do a Binge Watch Challenge? You know, it sounds like some dishwashing liquid, testing it on whites and which one cleans the best. No, it's actually, I will call someone randomly on my contact list. It could be somebody I know. It could be somebody that I don't know that just ended up on my contact list because of the default when Facebook puts everybody you have as Facebook friends on your contact list. It could be somebody that I don't talk to anymore that doesn't like me. It could be somebody. Anyway, and nobody answers the phone. So this is going to be great. This is a great segment. I can already tell this is going to be genius. Anyway, we're going to go into contact. And then whoever I get a hold of, they will have to challenge me to a binge watch of a TV series that I have not watched. Okay? So if they challenge me on the first show and it's a show I've watched, then I'll say, okay, you got to give me a different show.
Right.
Until they give me a show I haven't watched. And then I have to watch that show. I'm going to give myself 2 months.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
To watch it. If I don't watch the show, the whole show, binge watching, within that 2 months, then I have to buy them dinner, whoever it is, and I can see if it's somebody, you know, that I don't want to sit in front of and have dinner, I'll send them a gift card for dinner. But either way, or maybe they don't want to sit in front of me for dinner, and that's actually the more likely scenario, to be honest with you. All right, so here, let's take a look what we got here. I'm going to call somebody on this list. And I debated whether to keep my eyes closed when I did this or just scroll up and down the list. But here he goes. Oh, I got it. This guy actually might answer. He's the commissioner of my fantasy football league. He works, though. He does have a day job. This is Colin that I'm calling. And I haven't talked to Colin on the phone. I've only talked to him on Facebook in the last few months. Okay, this is probably not going to be an answer.
This is Colin. Sorry I couldn't answer the phone book.
Okay, so no Colin. All right, let's move back to the contacts. And we're going to try a different one. It almost would work to call somebody that I'm not on there. You know, I know that I'll show up as an unknown number. They're more likely to answer because they'll be like thinking it's somebody's giving them some money for something, or they're getting one, they want a prize. Let's see. All right, now I'm starting to wonder. I really don't have a lot of friends. No, just okay. Here's actually contact. I'm trying to call somebody that actually will answer the phone and might actually know of a show they might want to challenge me. Oh, I got it. Hold on. No, just email. Okay, I got another one here. Oh, perfect. Musician Eric Zamora. We'll try like four, and if nobody answers, I got somebody I'll email, and we may come back and do this at the end of the show.
Right on.
Yeah. Gotta love these new segments that have been untested.
Please leave your message. Okay. 4, 5, 1, 2.
Yeah, the flaw in this is nobody answers their phone for calls. They'll respond to text.
Nobody talks anymore.
Yeah. All right. Let me try. I'm going to try one. Okay. I'm going to take one more shot at it. And if it doesn't work, I've got somebody I can probably email. And, oh, I got one. I don't know. Again, I don't think he'll answer, but Patrick. He's got a lot of good shows he watches. Meanwhile, we do have a pug downstairs barking. If you hear that in the background. Come on, Patrick.
Hello?
Hey, Patrick.
So pick up your phone so we can shave our faces together. Call you up when I'm shaving my face.
What's up?
Hey, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
You know who this is?
Steven.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on your phone. Cool. Hey. So, I am recording Thunderpop Podcast right now.
Okay, cool.
And if you don't want to be on, I can hang up. But it's not to interview you or anything. It's a new segment. I'm just introducing a new segment. It's called Binge Watch Challenge.
All right.
And I've got Johnny Lightfoot here. Do you know Johnny?
No, I don't.
Hey, what's up, Patrick?
Johnny Lightfoot is a movie buff and a Star Wars enthusiast. Anyway, I'm doing a new thing called the Binge Watch Challenge. It starts off, originally I was going to just post on Facebook, hey, anybody want to be on Binge Watch Challenge? But then I was like, wouldn't it be fun if I just scroll down my contact list and I start calling people? And then, so anyway, you answered. Great. So what happens is you've got to challenge me to a binge watch of a TV show, something that you've enjoyed that you like, or you could just, but it has to be something you've watched, okay? Something you've
actually seen,
but man, it could be a shitty show if you really want to screw with me, or it could be an awesome show. But I have 2 months to fulfill my challenge. If I don't fulfill my challenge in 2 months for whatever reason, then I have to buy you dinner. Okay. Okay. If I fulfill the challenge, yeah. If you're tactful. You could plot a show that has tons of seasons, which would make it harder for... I'm giving him ideas. Why am I giving him an idea?
He's going to choose some Melrose Place or something.
Oh, what if I actually watch the show and finish it? Well, you know, I thought about that, and I was like, well, is it fair to make the person, if I watch all the shows, have to buy me dinner? And I was like, well, then nobody's going to want to do Binge Watch Challenge. So, no, you would have to come back on, like, either in person or on the phone when I'm done, and then I would say, hey, I did it, and then I'd give you my review of the show.
Okay, I'm going to challenge you, because I just finished a series that was awesome. So it's a good challenge.
Okay, what is it?
It's Master of None. It's Aziz Ansari's new series on Netflix. It is so good.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, great. And I haven't seen it. So
it's like 10 episodes, half an hour each episode, and they're hilarious and just well written. It's really quality TV.
Do you know this one, Johnny?
I know it. I have not seen it, though.
Are you a Netflix guy?
I am.
Okay, Patrick, I accept.
You have to see it too.
You know what? I'm going to check it out too.
I accept your challenge, Patrick. I'm going to binge watch it, and then I'm going to come back on, and we'll. Yeah, can you hear me? Hello, Patrick?
Hello.
Hold on, I'm going to put you on regular. Patrick?
Yep.
Okay, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, great. I accept your binge watch challenge, sir.
It's a real treat.
And I think I came off really easy this go round.
I think so too. I'm even going to join you. I'm gonna watch it too.
Yeah, could you think of a really shitty show I could have got challenged to?
Well, he could have challenged you to any one of the CW shows from the early 2000s, and you'd be screwed, man.
Yeah,
they were all like 5 to 9 seasons.
What's that, Patrick?
Yeah, just many seasons of pure garbage on those CW shows.
Yeah, there could be. Could be a that's like cereal with like lots of sugar, like not even the good cereal with lots of sugar, but the really shitty cereals with lots of sugar that you have a whole box of them, you're forced to eat the whole box.
Oh,
that's a CW show from the early 2000s.
That bag cereal.
That's the perfect metaphor.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, thank you for participating in the very first time ever we've done the Binge Watch Challenge.
Awesome.
This is episode. This is episode 4, I think. I'm losing track, but I think this is episode 4 of Thunder Pop. And we're so all right. What are you doing right now? What are you up to?
I am just doing some work.
Sounds good. Sounds good, man. Well, hey, I will catch up with you later. We're gonna move on, and I will talk to you soon, man.
All right, for sure.
All right, thanks again, and bye.
All right, ciao.
Wow, we got it. What was it, on the third call?
Third time's a charm.
That worked good because it was the first time, so I was able to get it pretty early on. But if I had to start saying it was going to be a different person that's going to binge watch challenge me each time, I would start running out of. I would have to go like to the phone books.
Oh, just yeah, call random people.
And I don't even think I get phone book anymore.
You call like a Walmart or something and just ask the yes. cashier at the customer service.
Yes. And I actually had the idea of doing a bum rush.
Bum rush
movie review.
There you go.
Where you call someone out of the blue and you try to get them to give you a movie review over the phone of a movie that they've seen. That while other podcasters take notes before I actually do it and do it before I do it. All right. So when we come back here, uno momento, guess what? You'll be hugely surprised. We're talking Force Awakens today.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Would have never guessed that.
No way.
We're going to do a lot of Star Wars now, between now and December 18th. This show's not exclusively Star Wars. It's very Star Wars centric.
Right.
You know, in January, we're going to probably do a Walking Dead show, which I'm looking forward to. And we are going to do a end of the year special where we're going to present an award to the asshole of the year and the badass of the year.
Whoa.
So we'll do two separate shows, and it'll be people in pop culture. This is a nerd centric show. I will say it's
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's nerd centric. But we have to talk Star Wars because that's right now. It's like it's Star Wars season between now and December 18th,
and it's everywhere.
It's everywhere, man. So it's a perfect segue. When we get back to the segment, we're going to talk about just how everywhere Star Wars: The Force Awakens has actually gotten, and whether it's a good thing or a bad thing or both. All right, we'll be back.
Star Wars is so galactic, Han Solo charismatic, makes me kinda asthmatic, if Anakin had studied his mathematic, maybe he wouldn't have spasmatic, the Force of course is wide awake baby, and Princess Leia is the universe's hottest girl.
All right, we're back. Got Johnny Lightfoot.
I like that little jingle.
Little jingle there, little Star Wars jingle. So that one, I was listening to that with Evil Flying Chickens was here on the last couple of shows, and we were listening to that, and afterwards, at the end, it kind of ends weird. You know, you think it kind of ends weird when you listen to it the first time with Princess Leia. rather than Princess Leia. But then I was going back and watching Star Wars: A New Hope the other night, and going back and watching all the old ones now before the new one comes out. And I actually, some of the actors in it that are in some of the smaller roles that had the British accents,
right?
Princess Leia.
That is true.
It's not that far off. And then I, somewhere else, just today, I heard it referenced as Princess Leia by someone with an English accent.
Huh.
So, it may come up in the new one.
Right, because yeah, you've got General Hux. He's kind of the big Tarkin-type guy.
It's not Princess Leia. It's not going to be Princess Leia anymore.
It's General, and Abrams came out and said that only once is she called Princess by somebody. And it's got it. I wonder who that could be.
Oh, that'll be interesting. Yeah, it's kind of referencing her past, her history. So, we are going to, and this was a segment Johnny brought in today. This is going to open up Thunderpop today, segment-wise. Star Wars, it's everywhere. Force Awakens. The Force is definitely awoken. And it's awoken all over the place.
Yes.
It's in our shoes. It's in our bathroom. It's in our toilets. I mean, I pooped a Star Wars action figure. That's just about the sum of things right now.
Oh, yeah. It's in your food. You can get some Star Wars SpaghettiOs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Star Wars condoms.
Star Wars condoms.
Star Wars condoms, if you want to practice safe sex. And if there was a Star Wars condom, it'd probably, well, anyway. It would
be a lightsaber.
Yeah, it would have to be a lightsaber. And they would have the Kylo Ren. They would have, now, I don't know how the Darth Maul would work. That would be
that'd be kind of interesting.
That's some freaky stuff there when you get the Darth Maul lightsaber version of the condom. That'd be kind of freaky deaky. Yeah, you'd have definitely the Kylo Ren would be the new one available. Again, that'd be kind of weird because it's the side and so Star Wars oversaturated or not oversaturated? As a Star Wars fanatic, Johnny Lightfoot, has it gone too far?
I think so. Just recently, I'd say in the last few weeks, and I know it's gearing up, you got to put it all over TV, you got to put it in the supermarket, you got to put it on the side of buildings, but I think it's just gone a little bit overboard.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, and I kind of thought that a few times myself. I look around, it's everywhere. I mean, even Bed Bath & Beyond has like a Star Wars section with like Star Wars stuff, the soap, Star Wars soap and Star Wars like towels and stuff like that. But then hasn't it always been that way though?
Well, I mean, yeah, growing up as a kid, you've got your Darth Vader blanket, and you know, even now with my nephew being 4 years old, greatest time of his life with Darth Vader robes and Kylo Ren PJs, and I remember that. I just think some of the stuff is just a little bit crazy.
And we are speaking on a specific commercial that we saw, that we were talking about before we started recording. I'm going back here and I'm looking up some old ads from the 70s. It's kind of interesting. You know the old Kenner Star Wars. Have you gone back on YouTube and watched any of these old ones before?
Oh, yeah.
Just for the novelty and nostalgia? Oh, yeah, just
the novelty, the little kids playing with them. And
this pulled up. It's a Taco Star Wars Fast Food Saga with Colonel Sanders.
Something quickly. The Naboo system has been invaded by force. I need your help. You have to do something quickly.
Oh. Okay, so the audience can't see what we're watching, but we're watching, it's called Star Wars Fast Food Saga, and Colonel Sanders is in this commercial.
Colonel himself.
Not the one that Norm MacDonald, Colonel Sanders, right. That's now is the Colonel Sanders,
right.
That's taken the throne as mm-hmm. Colonel Sanders. But it's the Colonel Sanders of, like, previous. Might have been, and this is not even the original Colonel Sanders. I think this is like 1990s Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, definitely 90s.
1990s-ish Colonel Sanders. Anyway, this looks like it might have came out when the prequels were around.
Yeah. Just the Naboo line.
Yeah, exactly, with the music and stuff. So Colonel Sanders has got a call to spring into action, and he runs, and he jumps into this white, like, Boss Hog car.
Oh, yeah.
And he is...
Damn. Need your help. The Naboo system has been invaded by force.
Oh, no. Pizza Hudson.
Yeah, you know, they started this sometime, I think, around late 90s, where they started consolidating, where they it used to be you'd have a standalone KFC, you'd have a standalone Pizza Hut, you'd have a standalone Taco Bell, and then they started these mashups.
Right.
And yeah. I've got, this is a whole thing I could do a show on, but I've got a pet peeve against places like restaurants that try to do too many different genres of food under the same roof, because mainly I don't like to walk in someplace. We had a restaurant here just a few blocks away that was open for a while, and they were doing Chinese. It was like the American, Kung Fu, Pizza, Chinese, Italian, Indian Palace.
Oh, geez.
And it was like, and the place was real tiny. So you walk in and you're smelling like eight different genres of food. And what's weird is I'm cool with it when I go to like Whole Foods, because Whole Foods has a lot of different types
right,
of food.
Right, you expect that though.
But when you walk into a little bitty tiny place and there's like, you smell Chinese food, you can get like Kung Pao chicken in a basket next to your pizza, like in a right. compartment next Ugh. To with pizza in another compartment, so that Kung Pao chicken sauce is running off into your pizza.
Kung Pao pizza.
Yeah, then you got Kung Pao pizza, which I'm sure somewhere Kung Pao pizza is available and it exists. At any rate, this is interesting. So they started these mashups. So this commercial is like probably one of the early ones where they're mashing up the three restaurants in a commercial. Oh, we just dove off that bridge. Oh.
Punch it.
So like really hot 90s Pizza Hut girl just right. dived, or actually it must be like late 90s?
Yeah, late 90s.
Really hot late 90s Pizza Hut girl who has that haircut that was kind of popular at the time that was sort of like slicked back.
Right.
And she just jumped in the convertible with Colonel Sanders, which is kind of creepy in its own right.
Yeah.
Because it's a Pizza Hut girl with the Colonel Sanders and the... I remember this commercial
okay,
now.
Yep.
And so the Keto Taco Bell dog just jumped in the back seat. So you got Colonel Sanders driving the Boss Hog car that flies and right. goes into light speed.
Right.
Faster than the Millennium Falcon. And he's got the Pizza Hut delivery girl in the front seat with him. And that's kind of weird and creepy. The old man picking up right. the young girl. And then you got the Keto Taco Bell dog, which was like banned.
Yes.
Kind of racist, I guess.
He was around for a while. He had his run.
They stuck it out. He had his run. Yeah, he made some checks. And now they're going into light speed. They take off. But before that happened, they pulled up in front of this nightclub. And the nightclub, I thought the Roxbury guys were going right. to come out of it, because they had had a little bit of that music playing. Yeah,
Mutabi Brothers.
The Mutabi Brothers. I thought they were going to just come walk out and jump in the car with them.
Go, my friend. You got her badge number. Plus, a month from now, you got a date to meet her at the municipal state court. Up,
yeah.
Very nice.
Oh,
what was the point of that?
Sorry.
And they were all going to have a breakfast crunch wrap.
Right.
And, of course, breakfast, this is pre...
Right, this is... I'm sure Taco Bell was doing some crazy stuff, because they're never not. I mean, there's always something new on the window.
They had the Dorito taco with the Dorito shell. That was a few years ago. Right. Now it's the breakfast crunch wrap.
Got the waffle taco.
Waffle taco. Did you have a waffle taco yet?
No, I have had a crunch wrap, but... That's about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'd wondered, we live in Austin, so we're basically in the breakfast taco capital of the nation,
yeah,
right?
No need for Taco Bell breakfast.
So I wonder, do people ever, do those things just go stale at the Taco Bells across town?
I would imagine so, because the only reason I ever had one was because somebody bought it for me.
Yeah, or even McDonald's. McDonald's has a breakfast burrito, right?
Yeah, and now they do breakfast all day.
Yeah, and a breakfast sandwich, it stands out on its own.
Grew up on Egg McMuffins.
Yeah, but then you've got but in Austin, I mean, does anybody ever get the breakfast burrito at McDonald's, you wonder, in Austin?
Austin transplants, I think.
Probably, yeah. Somebody that moved here and that liked it where they lived, and they want to keep that tradition going as part of their routine. Anyway, so this commercial is kind of silly. But now, moving into 2015, we just watched the Battlefront live-action trailer, and it's with Anna Kendrick.
Right, Anna Kendrick.
And that was kind of random?
Yeah, kind of random, but she's a geeky girl. I mean, I ran into her at a Scott Pilgrim screening mm-hmm. years ago, and mm-hmm. I mean, she's an awesome geeky chick.
Yeah, I saw that. I think I saw a picture from that, or something from that. You went to that on Facebook. Because
mm-hmm.
I wanted to do some research on you a little bit, because you were coming on the show. So before you came over, wasn't being a creep. I just checked your Facebook to see if there was anything else we could talk about. And that popped up right at the Scott Pilgrim screening. I remember that when they did that. So, like, people are going Obi-Wan, and they're kapooey.
Yep, just for, you know, just they're becoming one with the Force.
But it's people from, like, it's the dude high-fiving at the playground. It's the, is it a girl at a bookstore, library?
Yeah, yeah, girl.
She's closing down the store. She goes kapow, Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing. When Obi-Wan dies in New Hope, well, when he goes, when Darth, when he follows through with his, right, what his destiny was, he faces Darth Vader one more time.
Right.
He doesn't technically lose the lightsaber battle against Darth Vader.
No.
He yields,
right,
to Darth Vader's,
right, and sword. I always thought, more metaphorical than anything, he wasn't necessarily just stalling to let them get away. I think he felt he could help Luke more by becoming one with the Force than being this old guy trying to train him.
Mm-hmm. By way of becoming metaphysical.
Correct.
He can transcend and offer Luke more going ahead as,
correct,
far as guidance, rather than being kind of a really
slow old guy, you know.
Those years after episode 3 and before episode 4, how many years was that?
It was, I believe, 20.
20 years. So actually less time between episode 3 and 4 than between episodes 6 and 7.
Correct. Yeah.
Another 10 years.
Right.
So, which equals also some of the George Lucas and stalling and tomfoolery that was going on. But that's
right. That's
making those prequels. But that's a whole other thing in its own. But that, so there was 20 years. Man, talking about a guy that aged in 20 years. Obi-Wan.
Right. Yeah, he went from strapping Ewan McGregor to Alec Guinness towards the end.
That's a rough 20 years.
Well, in his defense, he was on the desert for...
Yeah, later. Couldn't have been a terrific diet. There's not a lot of greens that they could be grown on the planet. I mean, there was a farming going on, but I don't know how much you can farm there. So, yeah, so he probably wasn't getting a nutritious diet.
No.
He was definitely getting a lot of sun. He was getting a lot of sun, but the sun also in the desert. People that live in, like, dry climates, their skin, right, tends to wrinkle a lot more.
Tatooine has two suns.
Yeah, that's got to be brutal on the skin. So, if there's another thing that Star Wars can saturate and market is an Obi-Wan, like, sunblock. Don't be like Obi-Wan.
Disney, if you're listening.
Oh, and before we go any further, I got a bone to pick. I bought two new Star Wars t-shirts from the Disney line of new shirts.
Mm-hmm.
One at Target and one at Macy's. Macy's, by the way, this was kind of a scam. I went in there one day to exchange something that was for my birthday I got. I went in there and exchanged it, and they had a table of, like, the most amazing, like, Star Wars design t-shirts, $9 on sale.
For Macy's?
Macy's.
Oh, wow.
I bought a Chewbacca, badass Chewbacca shirt, navy blue, and it's kind of very artistic. It's like just his face, and it's like a mural of his face. And then I bought this R2 shirt at Target, okay? But a little further back. Okay, I was going to wear the Chewbacca shirt today. The way they put these tags on, these shirts, have you ever bought a shirt and the tag, you almost have to do, like, and call Ben Carson. You almost need a brain surgeon to be able to take the tag out.
Oh, yeah, without ripping the shirt. Yeah.
So I basically ripped the Chewbacca shirt on the tag.
Uh-huh.
So when I got to the R2 shirt, I went and was more precise.
Right.
And was able to, and I didn't even get the whole tag removed. What you have to do is you have to cut off part of the tag, and then you have to push the rest of it inside that little pocket.
Oh, yeah, it's on the, like, through the seam and everything.
Anyway, that's a pet peeve of mine. Disney, you've got to figure out, it's not the store's fault. It's not the store tag.
Right, it's the Star Wars tag.
It's the Star Wars Disney tag, and they put that tag on there, and you can't get that thing out unless you're a brain surgeon. So, or you have a degree in brain surgery. Anyway, I got one Chewbacca shirt that Macy's. I'm coming your way. We're going to swap that damn shirt out. But anyway, the next day I went back to Macy's, and I'm hardly ever at Macy's, but I was there twice in 1 week. Now I'll be there three times in 1 week to exchange my Chewbacca shirt before they sell out. But they were up to $12.99, so they
were already bumping it up.
They were already bumping it back up.
See what it is on the 18th.
I think the slowest days for you know working retail, and I've worked retail. The slowest days for retail are probably Tuesday.
Oh yeah.
So they probably drop prices like that on, like, a Tuesday,
right,
to generate, you know, more volume.
Generally, when I was in a department store, our markdowns happened Monday and went into effect Tuesday.
Yeah. So, but then, if it, like in the case of Macy's, like they had that back up by Wednesday, the price on that back up to $12.99, probably be back to the full price, whatever that was, like, you know, $17 bucks by the weekend. Yeah. So go on Tuesday to shop is the bottom line. Is what if you have time on Tuesday, go shop on Tuesday. Dude puts his hood on. He's gonna dissolve. Kids at the house become Obi-Wan.
Hipster chick.
Hipster chick. Obi-Wan. So this is for... I'm trying to get the Anna Kendrick part.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
She's got a butter knife. Damn, I kind of want to see a Star Wars movie now with Anna Kendrick. Like, I want to see her in one of the spinoff movies.
I think she'd be great in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I kind of want to see that. Now, I like Anna Kendrick.
I really like Anna Kendrick.
So, I'm actually okay with anyone that they would have randomly picked out to throw in there. And you said she's kind of nerdy.
Oh, yeah. When I met her, she was in a Batgirl t-shirt. And, I mean, it was for Scott Pilgrim. And she's read the Scott Pilgrim books, so...
I love it. I mean, I love her even more than
exactly.
I did before.
Gorgeous and geeky.
I'm going to stalk her on Facebook. I kid. I'm not going to stalk her on Facebook. I'm going to look for her and mildly stalk her on Facebook.
Twitter.
Mildly stalk her on Twitter. But friendly stalking. I say if you're going to stalk, it's always friendly stalking.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
always the best intentions as I scoot away.
As he scoots away and he grabs his jacket. It was nice having you on, Johnny. Okay. So, all right. So the saturation, you think, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I can appreciate stuff like this. You know, I get it, but I think we could have just gone with maybe a couple people going Obi-Wan and then Anna Kendrick and then get to the game. Because, I mean, I bought the game, so it obviously didn't sway me. But then we go on to, you know, what you've got queued up here, and that's where I really start to have problems.
Do you like the game? Do you give it a
I do. I give it a thumbs up. There's some worthless modes in there, but the graphics are gorgeous. I feel like I'm in the original trilogy.
It's real. I mean, it draws me in when I see it.
I mean, you're on Endor, Hoth, Tatooine. Mm-hmm. You feel like it's dirty. It's not like the prequels. It's not clean. I feel like I'm in the originals.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite Star Wars game of all time that you've played?
Oh, man. Jeez, I mean, the old Battlefront games were good. Man, Super Star Wars on Super Nintendo back when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So those games were the bomb when I was a kid.
You go old school with it a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, continuing on with the marketing and the madness and the mayhem, they made a CoverGirl commercial for Star Wars.
Yes, they did.
And this is taking it to... We watched a 90s KFC commercial where Colonel Sanders was going into light speed with his Boss Hog car.
Right.
But this is... Yeah, this is taking it into a new market.
Prepare to launch. New from CoverGirl, the Star Wars makeup collection. 6 mesmerizing looks. They will be epic. And they will fly fast. The Star Wars Makeup Collection, launching September the 4th.
Oh, and how crafty of them to release on September the 4th.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, you wonder if any of this makeup's even in the movie. Like, because the movie is a little bit grungier than the prequels.
Right.
So far what we've seen. There may be some stuff in there that we haven't seen. There may be a shot at a Star Wars nightclub where there might be some extras in the movie that has them have the makeup on.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. I feel like most of what we've seen is probably from the first act of the film. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit here and there
what I'm feeling too.
But
especially with Abrams, he doesn't want to give. He's about keeping things behind the curtain until the show starts. So obviously, if you're going to give away less, you have to show early parts of the scenes in the movie before things are revealed. And I've got, this is going to come up on Agree or Disagree, a question alluding to some of that about how some of this has been really keeping up. They've really kept some stuff under wraps that are going to blow us away.
I think so.
On the 17th. Okay. So CoverGirl, I actually know one person that bought this CoverGirl makeup. They weren't too keen on it. They didn't like it, but they had to go out and get it.
Yeah, I mean, the one person I've talked to about it, she basically said it's the exact same colors that they've always had, but now they slap a Star Wars label on it.
Repackage.
And you've got your light side and your dark side colors.
Oh, genius.
It's all in your mood, ladies.
If you wore makeup, would you wear the Star Wars CoverGirl makeup at least once?
I don't know that.
And I don't see you. I don't see you wearing makeup. But I'm just saying, if you did,
yeah, I think if I did, just coming from my retail department store background, I probably wouldn't wear CoverGirl.
Yeah.
But you know, there's probably some fangirls out there that buy it because it's Star Wars.
Okay, and we are going to take a break and come back, and we are going to talk more. Guess what?
Star Wars?
Maybe Star Wars. I don't know.
Star Wars. Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Exactly. Yeah.
Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars.
Really?
Mm.
Star Wars.
Okay.
Star Wars.
Yes.
Got it.
Star Wars.
Right.
Star Wars.
Right.
Star Wars.
Yes.
Star Wars.
Oh, that was sultry.
Passion.
Star Wars.
He wears the CoverGirl makeup.
Yes. Star Wars.
Star Wars.
He's excited.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
On that note, we'll be back here in a minute.
Star Wars is so galactic, Han Solo charismatic, makes me kinda asthmatic. If Anakin had studied his mathematic, maybe he wouldn't have spasmatic. The Force of course is wide awake, baby, and Princess Leia is the universe's hottest girl.
All right, we're back on Thunder Pop. And if you hear a dog barking from far away, I'm not running a dog pound on the side to make extra money. I am simply trying to keep the dogs downstairs so when they're in the studio, when we're recording, they run all over the place, they sniff the guest, and they unplug stuff, and then we end up off the air, and then I'm at Radio Shack like having to replace parts. Now that I think about it, that would be like the 1970s version of podcast. That would be at Radio Shack replacing parts. It'd be more like I'd be on Amazon trying to two-day ship something
right.
in.
Right.
That would have been when we were doing pirate radio, which I never did before. But if I had done pirate radio and I had dogs at the time, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. All right, so the next segment, we're going to break down. There's another, boy, they're bringing these out like every week now. The new Star Wars ad that, not that guy, the new Star Wars ad launched, and we did one podcast with Japanese ad. And then there was another TV ad, and now there's been another TV ad. But anyway, they're rolling these out like by. You think, were we going to get more of these before the release?
You know, I was actually somebody who, when they did the big event with the tickets going on sale and the halftime trailer, and Abrams was saying, this is it, this is final. I was actually somebody who was, as big into Star Wars as I am, I was actually kind of glad, because I was like, okay, so total so far, we only have 3 minutes worth of footage in a right. 2-hour movie. But, I mean, 30 seconds here or there on a TV spot's no big deal, and it's fun.
Are you? But so you're not worried about them showing you starting to get too many things that you get to see too much?
No, not really, because, I mean, with Abrams, like I said earlier, I don't think he's given away anything further than the first act.
Yeah, exactly. So this one, maybe my favorite so far.
Okay. You don't know a thing about me. What I've seen. We all need to run.
Hope is not lost today. We must face them.
So this is, I think, and a lot of people have already said online, that this particular ad or spot is the Ren trailer.
Yeah, I could see that. Because
Finn.
Right.
Finn.
We're getting Finn in there, you know, talking. He's talking more than we've seen him talk before.
Yeah, because that was the thing. It was very little dialogue from him in the previous trailers. Lots of scenes of him.
Right.
But who's the star of this one? Is it Finn? Is it Rey? Who's the Luke Skywalker in this movie?
Well, I think
in this trilogy.
In this trilogy, I think there's two.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's two Luke Skywalkers, and I think mm-hmm. they're on alternate paths. I think we're getting Rey, mm-hmm. who is our female protagonist, mm-hmm. and then Kylo Ren, who is our antagonist, or from the looks of mm-hmm. it, but from what I've heard, he's not even the big bad guy. But I think they're both on similar Skywalker journeys. Mm-hmm. I just think Kylo Ren's point of view is just different.
Mm-hmm.
I think he feels like what he's doing is the right thing.
Right.
But, you know, and from his point of view, he's doing something. He's putting order to the galaxy or mm-hmm. fulfilling their destiny, mm-hmm. whoever that is, or whatever that destiny is. I don't know. But I think those are our two main characters, our Skywalkers.
Talking about Kylo Ren in that theory or that aspect of his character, that he's not a big bad guy, like not totally, you know, and he believes and passionate about what he's doing. That's right. Kind of reflective of like many other things in history that we've seen. And now in the present, actually, you have like these people that they do things that are very violent.
Right.
Terrorist. But there's a...
From their point of view.
From their point of view, there's a cause or a belief that backs this, and they believe very strongly in it.
Exactly.
And, I mean, you do have, like, then you have pure evil.
Oh, you have pure evil.
You've got just pure darkness, pure evil, which, what in Star Wars would have reflected that so far?
I mean, the Emperor.
That's what I was kind of thinking, yeah.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
Yeah, would be pure evil.
Absolutely.
Wants to, like, install evil into other places.
Exactly.
And other people and infuse darkness wherever he can and control with it.
I mean, yeah, if you think about what the Emperor did throughout the course of the original trilogy, where you only even saw him in a hologram before the final movie, and mm-hmm. then you look at him in the prequels, I mean, the prequels are almost like a movie about him. I mean, mm-hmm. he starts off as this senator, and then he's manipulating things to become chancellor, manipulating more.
Could have almost been a better movie if...
Right. The best stuff for me, especially in the best one of the prequels, episode 3, is the scenes with him and Anakin, where he's mm-hmm. kind of subtly luring Anakin over, and he's mm-hmm. telling the story of Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Mm-hmm. Going back even further in Star Wars
right.
history. You know, I just saw something today. I don't know where I caught it. You know, I was doing research for the show. And then there was a thing about the theory on what would have made the prequels better, or what made him, one of the problems with them, was in the first one, you had Anakin as a boy.
Right.
And if they had started, yep. they had not yeah. started with that. Exactly. They'd started with Anakin, Hayden Christensen Anakin, from the very beginning, because by the time they got to the second movie, you had to set up a completely different... You're introducing a new actor
right.
as the character. It's a completely different... So maybe even if they had done this, this is wild and crazy. If they had had... Maybe he could have still been a boy at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
But if they had skipped ahead several years...
I like that idea, and I agree. I agree 100%. You didn't need the kid from Jingle All the Way playing Darth Vader
for the entire movie.
Right.
And then, which essentially at times it felt, one of the reasons why Jar Jar is another big reason why it felt like a kiddie movie, the first movie especially, more than the other parts of the trilogy. And I thought, finally by, and then the second one came out, and the second one was just way too much animation.
Way too much animation. It was, to be honest, kind of boring a lot of the time.
Felt like a movie like Ants, where it was a lot of... And then by the time the third one came out, I thought they finally got it. And I actually think I like Revenge of the Sith okay. And it had some great scenes. Obviously, the fight at the end with
right.
Anakin. And I felt something there emotionally.
Yeah.
I mean, connected with it.
The original cut of episode 3 was something like 4 hours. The opening 20 minutes apparently
for Revenge
was like,
of the Sith?
Yes.
Wow. And
the opening 20 minutes, just that star battle and mm-hmm, then the Dooku mm-hmm. stuff, apparently the original scenes of that was over an hour.
Wow.
I think if you did what your idea was and kind of started off a little early, you could easily cut Revenge of the Sith in half and use that first half as episode 2 and then end with the Dooku thing, and then it kind of leaves everyone on edge like, oh, crap, he's starting to go.
And there's that one, you know, the actor from that 70s show that took the 3 and made one movie.
Topher Grace?
Topher Grace. Did you ever get to see his
No.
his edit?
No.
I want to try to seek that out, because that's actually what I'm going to use me to get reconnected. Like, I'm watching, because I'm going back and I'm watching New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. I just started watching that. I'm going to watching the, but instead of watching the prequels all over again, I'm thinking about seeking out Topher Grace's version.
And save just yourself a lot of time.
Save yourself a lot of time, and I'll get to.
Yeah, I actually started watching the originals again last night with the original.
Now you have New Hope. So you have.
I have the non-special edition on DVD.
I have them.
Mm-hmm. I got them when they first came out. It was a special thing they did in 2007 for the 30th anniversary.
So they finally released the originals.
They released the originals. You had to buy them with the special edition, and it was the only way you could get it. But it is a unaltered version on DVD.
Keep those copies. When Disney released the new streams or the new download version, And do you think there's a chance that when George Lucas inked his deal with Disney, that he was so hung up on it only being the re-edited newer versions that he believed were the way the movie should have been executed to begin with? Do you think that he made a deal where any re-releases of the old movies had to be that version?
That I don't know. I do know that in his deal, from what I've heard, you can't mess with the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
Disney is not allowed to.
So that is a deal on the prequels.
They cannot alter the prequels.
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
Granted, I don't know if by altering he just means like change up stuff. I don't know if, because episode 1 and 2 now, the CG just doesn't stand up to today.
Yeah. Yeah. So here we go.
Fight.
Okay, that stormtrooper and that weapon. What is that?
From what I understand, those are riot troopers. So they're like melee fighters.
Oh man!
And they're essentially stormtroopers now are indoctrinated as children. And like Luke Skywalker is this myth, but that's why. You have those is if they ever came across, they're specifically trained that if you come across this myth, we're training you how to fight against a Jedi or a lightsaber.
Wow. Where did you get this?
That's what I heard online and based on some of the toys and in, some of the books, the Journey to the Force Awakens books that have been slowly streaming out since, Force Friday, a lot of those novels, some are boring, and
you have to read
several hundred pages just to get a few little tidbits of information, but...
There's some good ones, there's some bad ones, We were talking about that because I had referenced when we watched one of the other trailers we're breaking down on the show the other day, we were talking about when Rey is talking to Han... They're on the Millennium Falcon, and she asked him, is it true what they say about this and that? And I was like, it's only been 30 years, because that had become urban legend. But then we kind of thought, well, maybe it was kind of like a dictatorship of sorts, where history's kind of rewritten, and things are kind of wiped and purged from people's...
And I mean, for all we know, the reason Kylo Ren's so obsessed with Darth Vader is... In his mind, he was just this big baddie. He never had... For all anybody knows... Luke is the only one who ever saw his redemption.
Mm-hmm.
To everyone else, he's still this horrible person.
Do you think it's even been twisted? You know how when in A New Hope...
Martyrdom, maybe.
Huh?
Martyrdom, Darth Vader.
Exactly. And then it twisted it around, and Luke somehow has been made out to be, you know...
Exactly.
Kind of...
That's what I feel like with these new stormtroopers that are trained. I mean, it's obvious Finn was a stormtrooper.
Mm-hmm.
And he obviously knows how to use a lightsaber.
Yeah.
With what training? I mean,
the stormtroopers are not going to be the Keystone Cops anymore.
No, those days are over. Oh yeah, they're not missing everything.
Because the running joke on the originals was how their aim was so bad.
Oh yeah,
and of course that's in a lot of movies that the villains have terrible aim, but.
I mean, if you think about it, the stormtroopers in the originals, the Empire was established for like 20 years. I mean, they didn't really have to fight anybody, so...
Yeah, so they could. You didn't have practice.
Right, but these they're specifically trained to fight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. And you can see but that weapon, when he takes that out, and that...
But he also has a shield.
Oh, he has a shield.
Fight them.
Okay, different one. Also, Kylo Ren, different from past Star Wars villains, he's more involved in combat. You saw with Darth Vader, where Darth Vader kind of would show up, didn't want to get his cape dirty. He kind of show up for the big battle, for the big stuff. You know, when they, or they needed him, if they were failing and weren't having success.
Kylo Ren's on the ground.
Sure you're up for this?
There you see Han Solo talking to Finn on the Millennium, appears again to be the Millennium Falcon, which still has some of the disco lights.
Right.
It's all the red. Because I was watching that last night on Empire Strikes Back, and I, you know, that Millennium Falcon was kind of 80s disco tech a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And Empire Strikes Back in general, visually, was amazing.
Oh.
But it had some of the disco tech feel to it in certain areas, which you'd want that. I wondered how much of that are they going to change the interior of the Millennium Falcon to update it to make it more, you know, now? But,
sure you're up for this?
The lighting is there still.
Up for this?
Hell no.
A little bit different, slightly different version.
Right. The lighting. Yeah, you've still got the big primary color lights, blocky lights.
Now, and how old? They must have rebuilt that motor on that Millennium Falcon by now, because it was an old clunker in A New Hope.
Oh, yeah.
So by now, and they were making jokes about it, and he couldn't get the light speed to work in Empire. That was their whole part of their mission, and they're trying to escape, and they can't get away because of their lightning speed. And then they fly into Godzilla's mouth. So I'm wondering, okay, at this point, how much of a clunker would it be at this point?
Look at what it's been through. I mean, it almost got blown up in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think at this point they must have done a rebuild job on that thing.
They had to.
For instance,
sure you're up for this.
He's still got that pistol.
Oh yeah,
He hasn't changed. It's still the Han Solo pistol.
Oh yeah.
So there he is. He's talking to Finn. Mm-hmm. And earlier I tried to make up a new character named Ren, which would be if
he's actually a little Chihuahua.
If Rey and Finn had a kid, then it would be Ren.
Ren.
Yeah. So Ren. So anyway, Finn.
Finn.
Finn. Finn talking to Han, they're on the Millennium Falcon. He says, are you sure you're ready for this? I had mentioned this about, and this actor took a beating on the social media, and some of it was geared towards, it was racist. Others were just people being critical of him, because they thought he looked awkward in the air. And I think his character did look a little bit, at times, kind of finding himself a little bit.
I can see that, but if anybody who hasn't seen it, watch Attack the Block.
Okay.
He is the main character in Attack the Block.
As far as actor, I know he's very capable. Mm-hmm. But I think the character itself is coming off a little bit like it's being played like there's some...
And I think
finding himself.
Yeah, exactly. I like I said earlier, I think we're only getting glimpses of the early stages of the movie, and he's very unsure of himself.
He's abandoned his army.
Exactly. If it is true that these people are indoctrinated to become stormtroopers and taught from a very young age, then that's all he's known, and now he's just thrown out there in the desert, then he doesn't know what he's fighting for.
Do you think they're kidnapped and put in or are they recruited into this new stormtrooper army? Like, you know how there's kids that are actually kidnapped from their homes to be trained to... And this happens in our life.
I wouldn't be surprised if it is a whole propaganda spin, if the Empire kind of spins it to people to where they're like, hey, give us your firstborn so we can rebuild a better galaxy.
Yeah.
Because these rebels are messing everything up.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of poverty and struggle in the galaxy far, far away. We've seen that from time to time. And so you take people that have or lack lifestyle and comforts, and you give them a promise of a, whether it's false or not, falsely promise them a better world if their children come to...
Well, I mean, look, even Luke wanted to go to the academy in the original
trilogy. That was
his
dream. He wanted to get away from the farm and go... do bigger and better things, and that was his dream, was to, you know, not to go off and be a painter.
And it wasn't until he saw what the Empire's capable of that he was like, oh, I need to rethink this.
For this, hell no.
He says hell no, which is, you know, that was the thing I thought was missing out. Another thing was missing out of the prequels was, and it was kind of almost because of the story, because it was very Jedi centric more mm-hmm. than the originals were.
Right.
The prequels were about the Jedi Council,
and they until the end they were pretty much indestructible. There was no tension.
No. So it was a very it was a different time in the galaxy. It was a different planet where things were very. It was about the royalty, the prestige, the Jedi Council protecting the Queen mm-hmm. And keeping order. And so the language.
Very proper.
Very proper. But in the originals, it was rougher, more gritty. You had Han Solo. And they were talking in a little... There was a little bit like, hey, kid. You know, right. It was a little more slang-oriented. And I missed that about the prequels.
Yeah.
It made it too cardboard for me.
I mean, your Tauntaun will freeze before you get out past the first marker. Well, I'll see you... I guess I'll see you in hell.
Exactly. And that was one of the things that I thought was missing from the prequels. It gave it more... I remember my mom was like... Oh, I didn't like the prequels as much because no Harrison Ford and, you know, that. But it's like, and then she's like, you know what? I think she hit something out of the park, though. It's not just the Harrison Ford. Not that. I mean, yeah, that's part of it. But it's that type of character where there's slang and you can kind of relate to it a little bit more. And that was something that these movies had in the originals mm-hmm. that made it more like we could relate to it a little bit.
Right.
I couldn't relate to the prequels as much.
It wasn't George Lucas's dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times it was just Harrison Ford kind of
ad-libbing.
Exactly.
Or Carrie Fisher ad-libbing. Carrie Fisher could go get high and the trailer and come back out.
Yep.
And then just go at it.
Just wing it.
Just wing it. And it was some good stuff. So this one, I'm seeing that there when he says, hell no. You know, and now that confirms that there is a hell in the Star Wars galaxy. Because I wonder where they went when they died.
Because now it's been said twice mm-hmm. in the Star Wars universe.
Whoa! Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Back in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, where they had the seats that spin around and turn,
right.
Where they
gun turrets.
One of my favorite scenes in the original was when Luke and Han get in there and they
get away from the Death Star.
Yeah, they get and they're battling with the and they're in those seats and they got the headset on and I'm glad to see that back. Okay.
You don't know a thing about me. What I've seen.
Who's he talking to when he says you don't know a thing? Is that Rey? When he says you don't know a thing about me.
Who's I think he's talking to Han there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, from all of the scenes we've gotten of him and Rey, they seem pretty cordial.
Mm-hmm.
And in all those scenes, there's always stuff chasing them, blowing up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even hear them introduce themselves to each other until they're on the Millennium Falcon. So all that stuff on the desert's already happened, so they can't even catch their breath to properly introduce themselves. So I think after they've gone through that, I don't think he would say something like that. But I think... Han probably said some sort of snarky remark about him possibly have finding out that he used to be a stormtrooper and saying mm-hmm. something. And
Han was a stormtrooper too. Well, kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
In a trash compact.
We all need to.
That's cool. When they bust out of that, was it a tent?
Some sort of tent or hut.
They're in a camp.
Hope is not lost.
We were talking about in the early segment, the over-marketing. Or the saturation of Star Wars. There's also a clothing line now that they're not like costumes, but like a real clothing, Star Wars clothing line.
I think I've seen ads for that on Facebook or something.
Saw that this week. Yeah, I was on Facebook also. So they've got...
To kind of make you feel look like you're in that galaxy, sort of, but it's not really a costume. It's like a hoodie.
It's not a full-on... Yeah. They have a duster-type hoodie.
Right.
If you want to look like a... Knight of Ren,
right?
Or Knight of Kylo Ren, and then they had some
rebel jacket.
They had the rebel jackets, with a couple of different
orange scarf.
Would you go that far?
Would
you get the jacket?
See, I'll cosplay like nobody's business,
uh-huh.
But
yeah, and I know this.
Trying to incorporate Star Wars into my wardrobe outside of a t-shirt.
Yeah, right. Like a fan shirt.
Well, I mean, yeah.
It's a cool Boba Fett, by the way.
Boba Fett's and Stormtroopers.
He's got this most awesome shirt that's got the... So, Johnny, for Halloween, who were you?
I was Kylo Ren. I made a Kylo Ren
you
costume.
You made the costume. Did you make the mask, too?
The mask I did not.
Okay.
That, I had to order the mask, and it's got the voice modulator mm-hmm. and everything in
yes.
it.
Yes. I saw a video. But you made the costume, the cloth from the neck down, and it's amazing. So I was trying to recruit him to bring it and wear it for the podcast. But then you're getting it modified, correct?
Yes, because like we're seeing all this new footage and stuff. It has actually gotten to where now I can see different aspects of his costume that I hadn't seen before outside of some action figures and statues and stuff.
Yeah.
Now I'm actually seeing that there's a secondary tunic underneath and a bunch of other stuff. So I've kind of disassembled parts of it to kind of make it as screen accurate as possible. I've got the ribbing along the arm.
It's amazing. So right on. I got this little Kylo Ren. I think it was at the, which one is 9?
That's probably the 18-inch.
18-inch. So this is the 18-inch Kylo Ren. I want to do a photo series with the Kylo Ren, and where he's doing things around town with me. It's called the Little Kylo Ren hashtag.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of different things I could have Kylo Ren doing around town. Maybe you could be the Kylo Ren's big brother.
Big Kylo,
little Kylo, and have you all like twins where you're walking next to each other and you're, you know, on the street together. The wingmen.
You must face
there them. It is. That's cool. We see Kylo out in the middle of combat. And he's standing there, and he's just sort of surveying everything as it's happening.
Fight them.
Lightsaber almost.
That shot of Rey blasting at Kylo Ren, and he's just like deflecting it. But when you take that into account, and then you saw in that Japanese trailer where Kylo's got the lightsaber, it's obvious
to her neck
scene.
Yeah,
she it makes me wonder why she's out for blood. I mean, she's firing at, like crazy at him, and he's kind of just hesitating. Mm-hmm. And even on one of my talking figures, he says, "Is it true you're just a scavenger?"
Yeah, no, there's a history. We feel like they're brother and sister. I think that's pretty established.
I disagree.
Really.
I think they're related.
We already got agree or disagree. We haven't even gotten to it yet. So you think, no, I think that's just sort of like kind of grew and built. So you think, no, what are they?
I think they're cousins.
I got another one for that's pretty wild. And I thought that today, actually. I was thinking when I was writing agree or disagree, I had a segment on there about Luke. And that popped into my head. But also I even had a crazy, well, here's another one, because even crazier. Maybe they were, one time, they were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Also possible.
Yeah, but the cousin thing, yeah. Why not?
I think they're cousins. I think Kylo is... I think he's the reason Han and Leia aren't together anymore.
Well, and that would do it. You can talk about a dysfunctional kid that could break up a marriage, a relationship. You know, that seems to be kind of a trend in movies where they make these reboots and sequels, and they have a character kind of like Han Solo, that's sort of a maverick.
Right.
Kind of was a, you know, this...
Heroic
stud muffin type characters. They seem to do, when they come back, they did it with Anchorman, even Anchorman. I'm going far into the different genre movies. But when they take a character that was kind of known for their swag and their mojo and being kind of the sort of that swashbuckling kind of character, if you pin him down to someone and make him with the same person, then that kind of takes a little bit of the element of like,
right,
that edge away from him.
Right.
So when they came back and they did Anchorman, they immediately, what they did first when they made the Anchorman 2, immediately
broke
him up. Because that then they could bring in all the girls.
Exactly,
because
Princess Leia, or now General Leia, she's always going to be in her element in politics and things like that. And Han's in his element when he's in cantinas and cruising around with Chewie, being guys.
And he can't be that if he's domesticated.
Right.
He's in a relationship and he's, you know, has to be that type. So they have to immediately break him up to be able to bring, you know, and they did that with all the Indiana Jones movies. Every Indiana Jones movie came out, he was single again and he was back on the market and you couldn't have him just, because they would have, the minute that happens, it would have killed.
Look at James Bond.
It would have killed the series. So that's what James Bond has gone on for decades, because they keep him a swashbuckling. They have never got him married. I don't think he's ever been married, has he? Not longer than...
No, I think the closest was Casino Royale. He was ready to throw in the towel and quit, and then homegirl ended up eating it. So,
and then, when AIDS first broke onto the scene, they decided they were going to make him a little bit more like safe sex,
right?
You know, where he was going to carry condoms and he was going to be more, you know, particular about who he hoed around with,
right?
Rather than just any girl in a gold dress at a casino, but. you know, and eventually they got kind of lazy and they probably got away from that. But anyway, so they do that. I think when they make they finally make Top Gun 2, the Tom Cruise character, he'll be single again.
Oh yeah,
they'll kill off homegirl. She had cancer and died.
Yeah,
he's visiting her grave site or something, and then suddenly he's back out on the market.
Val Kilmer ate her.
Val Kilmer, yeah, I think he did. He's gonna probably have the same trainer that Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill had to get ready for Top Gun 2.
He's gonna need it.
Yeah, because he confirmed, and then he backed up and unconfirmed because it probably wasn't official that he could confirm yet that he was gonna be, in fact, back as Iceman in Top Gun 2. But anyway.
Sure you're up for this?
I don't know. I'm up for it.
Oh, yeah.
Damn, I'm up. And then we see BB-8.
Just floating, whirling around.
And he's kind of taken over now.
Oh, he is.
You don't even see. I mean, you saw R2, I think, in one shot when Luke appears to be Luke, puts his hand on him. And we talked about that, too. But then.
But that's it.
BB-8's taken over.
Oh, yeah. I can't come across a BB-8 shirt and not buy it. I can't.
I'm with you. And I imagine. And I'm wearing an R2 shirt. I'm going old school today. I like the shirt. It's more of the shirt than the, being R2. But the BB-8, I think at some point, probably just rolls in and just kind of like R2's like on the ledge of some just, and he rolled and kind of just bumped him off and, you know, said, you know, beep, 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 beep.
I'm the new cutest droid in the galaxy.
I got this. It was a good run, but, you know.
See, and the thing is, that's why Lucas originally did Jar Jar. He was trying to give the kids a new R2.
But yeah.
The thing is, one of the best things about R2 is he doesn't have to talk. He can convey humor and everything through a bunch of little Ben Burtt making baby noises.
And they were calling back when they made A New Hope and they had C-3PO and R2-D2. He was obviously calling back to some of the old vaudeville. And some of the older comedians, like the Laurel Hardy, specifically, I think is what I'm thinking of, and with robots,
right?
And sci-fi,
right, exactly,
which was incredibly badass. And I've dogged on Lucas quite a bit, but then for everything that he did later that was bad, he did all these things that were amazing that got this whole thing rolling.
Oh yeah, I mean, absolutely.
You look at New Hope, and you can kind of work and take away some of the stuff that was added in later, and look at the art, the creation of the sets, the costumes, and then just this world he created.
And just think,
in 1977.
Yeah, and he created that with all the trouble they were going through. They went through, like, so much trouble filming that movie.
Storm.
And nobody believed in it. Every time Alec Guinness wasn't on set, everybody else was just joking around.
Yeah, and he wasn't, I mean, he was kind of like, didn't want to be there, from what I've heard.
No.
Yeah, and, you know, he still did a great job. His presence was still on screen, was amazing, but... Yeah, he kind of thought it was a silly, like, Saturday morning kids movie. And he, I don't know, his agent put a gun to his head to do it or something. Whoa! And
Wars, The Force Awakens.
There you go.
There it is.
That's the new trailer. So you think we'll get 6 and 7? We got how many more weeks we have left?
We've got, three weeks?
Are they promising any more of these? Have they publicly said we're going to have another?
They haven't promised any. I know they said there's no more trailers.
Yeah,
These little 30, 40 second TV spots. I mean, how could they not? I mean, granted, how much of it's going to be new footage? I don't know. I think you might see a lot of it that's just kind of a mashup of stuff we've already seen. But every now and then they'll probably throw in a little 5 seconds new or whatever.
Are they running these on TV, or do they run them like one time and then you just YouTube them the rest of the time?
I mean, gosh, who watches live television anymore?
I know. Because I'm thinking, if they're running these on live TV in high circulation, you wonder, do they really need or have to spend that money on marketing when they are going to just take over the world and be everything before
it? You don't really need to spend. I mean, we talked about how it's everywhere. You don't really need to market this movie.
Just on those commercials that are product selling.
Exactly. Just let CoverGirl sell you on the movie.
Anyway, I expect at least one more. If I had to take a guess, we'll get one more at least, probably right before the movie comes out. But who knows? They may, like you said, they'll do at least a remix, and they'll take some footage and kind of move it around a little bit. All right, when we come back, we're going to play that game. Yes, you guessed it. Agree or disagree?
Agree or disagree?
And this is Johnny Lightfoot's first time on the Agree or Disagree. All right, it is time. You know the game. We love to play it. At least I love to play it. It's called Agree or Disagree. Did you hear this one?
Yes.
You have heard some Agree or Disagree?
I'm excited.
The shit is getting real. Oh, yes, things getting serious. Dude, did you hear what I said? The shit just got real.
All right, it's time for Agree or Disagree.
The Force Awakens will not even be the best movie to come from a 70s-originated 70s movie series this year. That honor will actually go to Creed.
I agree.
Yeah, so you agree. That's a big statement.
It is a very big statement, and ever since I saw the first trailer for it, and even before that, just when I heard it was going to be the director and star of Fruitvale Station.
Yeah.
Because I absolutely love that movie.
Oh, yeah. So you did a great job on that.
And I mean, the trailers, it's all the feels. Granted, it didn't make hair stand up on the back of my neck, right, like the first time I saw Force Awakens trailer.
Sure.
But I think as a movie, I think it's the bee's knees. I think Creed's going to be really good.
Second question. Mark Hamill recently stated he is holding a bigger secret than the Vader reveal from the original trilogy. He says if he gets to the date of the release without spilling the beans, he receives a bonus from the studio. Is that secret the fact that Luke has revived the Jedi Council while he was on a sabbatical? Agree or disagree?
I disagree. I think it's a pretty interesting theory. But I disagree that's what it is. I know he's sworn to secrecy and has stated, I can't even tell you that I'm in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That there's some big drops coming up. Now, whether or not it can be as big as Darth Vader being dad.
Yeah.
Granted, I wasn't alive when that happened in real time.
You didn't have internet back then.
Right.
You didn't have TMZ.
So, I mean, I wasn't one of those people who had to walk out of the movie theater and, like, what the hell, and then wait 3 years to get some sort of resolution. I got instant gratification. So, I mean, if there is something big like that in this movie and we've got to wait, it's going to be a bummer.
You know, and you know TMZ has got to, like, have, like, some dude that's, like, broke into Mark Hamill's house already and is, like, hiding in his laundry hamper.
Oh, they're
and, like,
they're
all
they're
his sticky-ass drawers that hit that laundry hamper, they have to maneuver around that to be able to...
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and by the way, I can't think of anything worse than that, than Mark Hamill throwing his stinky-ass drawers on your mug while you're trying to lay there and with your recorder trying to get the scoop. And we were talking about them, about the possible reveals, secrets, where you had said you thought Kylo Ren and Rey turned out to be cousins.
So, yes.
So the parents, Han Solo, Princess Leia, would still be Kylo Ren's parents in that scenario?
Yes.
So who would Rey's parents be?
That would be Luke Skywalker.
That's what I was thinking.
And that could be that big drop.
And she does look like, you know, Mark Hamill.
Now, who the mother is, that I don't know.
Yeah. And, then, you know, the comic books had, the earlier versions of the comic books, they had, you know, Luke Skywalker later on.
Correct. Getting married and having a kid he named Ben.
Yeah.
But obviously that's all wiped clean. But if you take into account in one of the new books, which is canon, Luke does meet Maz Kanata, who is Lupita Nyong'o. That's who she's playing. And she's a big deal.
Who are you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And in one of the new TV spots, she says, in a thousand years, I've seen many eyes, same eyes on different people.
Mm-hmm.
I know your eyes. In one of the new books, her and Luke Skywalker cross paths.
Mm-hmm.
And she's obviously talking to Rey in the new trailer.
J.J. Abrams got some great actors for this movie.
He did. He really did.
He went out. He said, you know, I'm not going to go out and get the biggest stars by no stretch of the imagination, which is not most of the time. We talked about that, too, previous. Most of the time, that's not the M.O. of Star Wars. There have been times they broke away from that when they got, like, Samuel Jackson to play the Jedi.
Right.
But they don't go out and get Tom Cruise and say, okay, we're going to put Tom Cruise in a Star Wars movie. So traditionally, and he's stuck with that. But he's actually also gotten some really good actors. Not just the fact that he stayed away from stars, but he also just – the people he got are really good. I mean, there's some of them we knew, we've seen them. They're not like they just
showed up. Didn't really, other than Leon the Professional, nobody really knew Natalie Portman before Star Wars.
True. She was another, and that was another home run as far as casting, because she, and then she's done quite well beyond that. Okay, so another one here.
Disney acquired Indiana Jones in the same deal that they acquired the Star Wars franchise. In the next Indiana Jones movie that they plan on making, it will be the second best film in this series, surpassing all of them except for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's tough, just because I hold Temple of Doom has a little sweet spot in my heart, but I agree.
You think they'll be able to put it together?
I think they can get it. I mean, you can't do any worse, right? Mm-hmm. Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls is just bad.
Yeah.
All right, last one on agree or disagree. If Warner Brothers had stuck it out with Tim Burton and Michael Keaton, we would have never seen The Dark Knight on screen.
I agree. Because, yeah, we wouldn't have never gotten it, because the main reason we got it was because of the somewhat failure, obviously not in the box office, but failure.
Joel Schumacher. Yeah.
Get them to be like, all right, we got to go opposite.
Yeah.
So, I agree.
Yeah. And now we're going into the Batman versus Superman, mm-hmm. which looks fun, but you got, they're kind of going in, okay, we want to go in the direction of, now we want to see the older Batman, we want to see Ben Affleck's casting, and potentially, and there had been talks before, years ago, I heard stories of them wanting to do the Batman kind of in the twilight of his career, kind of coming out of retirement and being the older, like there was talks about an older version of Clint Eastwood playing that Batman.
Right.
So if you'd stuck it out with Michael Keaton, who was very popular, you might have been able to see him come back later. They could have given it a break for 10 years. He could have come back later and done like that older kind of curmudgeon Batman.
And he kind of did with Birdman.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually true.
Oh, yeah. Birdman's probably my third favorite movie of last year. I love that movie.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see him back.
Oh, yeah.
He's back. He's got Spotlight now that's mm-hmm. on the way out, and he's going to play Ray Kroc in the Ray Kroc story. Would you like to see him in a... maybe like in a Marvel movie, playing a villain of some kind?
I don't know about a Marvel movie.
Maybe that's not the fit for him?
No, I wouldn't mind him, honestly, doing kind of like Adam West did in the Batman, the animated series, mm-hmm. where he came back to a Batman mm-hmm. project mm-hmm. and played the Grey Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe he comes in and does something like that, where Michael Keaton's the Grey Ghost.
Yeah. And you know what? This is not anything to do with anything we talked about today, but I had an epiphany that this is Star Trek related. We talked on the first episode about that there's a new Star Trek TV show reboot.
Right.
It's coming out, CBS streaming platform, in a couple of years. And I think almost every new version they've done of TV Star Trek, starting with The Next Generation, they like to take one person in a supporting role or in a part of the ensemble cast of leads. And they like to bring one person in that's kind of known already.
Right.
That's kind of been their MO. They had Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap in that prequel Star Trek that they made. And then in The Next Generation, they brought in LeVar Burton, who was known for Reading Rainbow. I kind of have an epiphany that they're going to throw someone in there just random. And we were talking about with Patrick earlier about CW shows. Like, I really could see, like, a Freddie Prinze Jr. or Michelle Geller.
Well, see, that's funny you bring that up, because uh-huh. they're both on Rebels.
They're on that's right. They do the voices. Mm-hmm. They're on Rebels. So maybe they're already locked into the Star Wars universe, but it's not too far-fetched, though, when you look at already the incestuousness that's happening in Star Trek Star Wars worlds.
Well, I mean, Thor was Kirk's dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pre-Thor, but...
So, yeah. So there's... I mean, that could be... But I think someone along those lines... Because they're not going to go out and get... Like, again, you're not going to go out and get, like, Tom Cruise.
No.
But you're going to...
You get a known...
And you're not going to get anybody totally just lame either. You're not going to have, you know... It's not going to be a joke. But they're going to get someone in the mid-range that people have some level... In the sci-fi world, have some level of respect for.
Right.
I think they probably won't be Edward James Olmos. It probably will not be in the James Levels, but it could be Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah.
I could see him in a new Star Trek show playing, you know, even the captain. It could be a casting move there that could be interesting. Him as the captain. Anyway, that's something. You got anybody you could think of?
I mean, you bring up Edward James Olmos. Gosh, and I can't think of her name, but she was also in Battlestar, and then she was most recently in the first season of Hemlock Grove, and I don't know why I can't think of her name.
Candace McClure.
Yes.
Two C's. Yeah, she's...
She's striking, and, you know, she's already got it in, I think, with Geeks, with, you know, being in Battlestar Galactica, and now she's also in kind of that niche, now that Netflix series, you know, Hemlock Grove.
Yeah. Already in the streaming kind of world.
So I could totally see her in a Star Trek.
She's 5'1". Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I know she's petite.
Are you going to find her on Facebook?
You know what? I think I should.
Or on Twitter. Will you follow
her? Maybe both. I'll give her a follow.
You give her a follow. Yeah, she's something. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for a segment we call Thoughts and Advice for Your Day. It's how we close out every episode of Thunder Pop. And today, I've got a gripe of sorts, but it's mainly a suggestion or advice that people maybe stay away from a certain catchphrase that's kind of caught on in America. When you go on a trip, whether it be Florida or California or New York or down in Miami or Hotlanta, wherever it is that you're vacationing or you're on business, don't post on Facebook that you're inside the state that you're at. When I see an update on my newsfeed that says, Florida, I'm inside you, that's a visual and thought that I could just do without. It's kind of getting creepy. Maybe the first time someone did it, it sort of sounded kind of edgy. But especially if it was a girl that did it, it kind of has a little edge to it. Like, oh, how did you do that? That's interesting. But if you're a guy and you're at Florida, or you're in California, we don't want to hear the term, Florida, I'm inside you. That's just creepy and gross. That's the thoughts and advice for the day. Stop it, people. Stop using it. Stop putting it on my news feed. You've been unfollowed. You agree with that? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, everyone. Stop that damn music. Everybody, thank you. The three of you that listen every time I do one of these, thank you. And thank you, Johnny Lightfoot.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're going to finish the recreate of the Kylo Ren costume.
Oh, absolutely, man.
And we're going to see you back soon, I hope.
Absolutely.
I'll be
here in costume.
Oh, man.
Voice
I can't.
Modulation.
I can't. I cannot wait. All right, we're going to close it out. And again, I want to thank you for coming on.
Thunder Pop, in association with D's Nuts Productions. Got 'em.
All right, we're close. We're going to close it out. Thank you, everybody. And Thunder Pop was a Hit the Bricks production.